Ah, yes. Also sprach Zarathustra, used famously in Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. This is the Ubermensch number one. I am the Ubermensch, Dave in Kentucky. And the reason I'm calling this the Ubermensch is because I recently started driving for Uber after not working at all for many years. I decided to start Ubering to earn some extra money on my own schedule. See, I couldn't stand to have a job where I had to be somewhere at a certain time and I had to be there for a certain length of time. You know, that's why I retired in the first place, because I didn't want to do that. But I don't mind making a little extra money and getting out and doing a few things and, you know, meeting some interesting people, some of them a little too interesting in some cases. But, you know, I'm calling this the Ubermensch because, you know, the Also Sprach Zarathustra is the German translation of the Friedrich Nietzsche. Well, of course, his title was in German also, but, you know, in English we call it Thus Spake Zarathustra, or Thus Spoke Zarathustra, or Zarathustra Said This, or something. You know, it's what Also Sprach Zarathustra means. But it was about this concept of the Übermensch, the overman, or the superman, you know, which Hitler misinterpreted and, you know, put a bad spin on that term forever. But anyway, a mensch, you know, is from the Yiddish. It means, I don't know, a good person, a person of integrity, a stand-up guy, you know. I hope I'm all those things. You can decide. I'll report, you decide. So I started looking into this Uber thing, and it seemed pretty interesting. You know, all you had to do to get approved was to send them a picture of your driver's license, your registration, your proof of insurance, send them a profile picture, you know, give them some information so that they could run a background check on you. And Kentucky only, as far as I know, requires that you take this defensive driving course online, and it cost $15. So that was really my only initial outlay for getting started in this thing. And that defensive driving course, it was easy, but it took forever. And at the end of each unit, you had a little quiz, and if you you missed any question on the quiz, you had to take the whole quiz over again. That only happened to me a couple times. And by the time, I guess the reinforcement helped, because by the time that I got to the total end of the course and took the final exam, I scored 100 on it. So I guess that's an effective teaching method, actually. But anyway, so in the meantime, while I was waiting for them to complete my background check, I discovered that I had to have my car inspected, had to pass an Uber safety inspection at an approved location. Well, actually, it doesn't have to be an approved location, but they suggest certain approved locations. And they say that the mechanic that does it has to be, what is it, ASE certified? I believe that's what it is. I can't think at the moment what that stands for. But anyway, so I took it over to the closest one that they suggested, which was a Jiffy Lube over in Lexington. I live in between of Frankfort and Lawrenceburg. basically right on the county line. You know, Frankfort is in Franklin County and Lawrenceburg is in Anderson County. And of course, they're both the county seats, I think. Anyway, there's a courthouse in Anderson County. There's a courthouse in Frankfort. But so I drove over there. It's like 20 miles or so, 20 to 25 miles to this Jiffy Lube, and told them that I wanted this Uber inspection done. And the guy says, well, pull it over here. And I cut my wheels. You know, going over there, and said, hold it. Hold on just a minute. And he took a look at the tire where I'd turned it there. And he said, well, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to pass this unless you get new tires. I said, you mean all of them or just one? And he walked around. He said, look, all these tires are all dry rotted. You know, and he showed this crackling around, you know, close to where the rim was and so on. And I didn't know if he was, you know, just trying to make a tire sale or if this was legitimate. So I asked him, you know, how much it would cost to get these tires. And he said, hang on just a minute. Let me make sure that your brakes look okay. And he looked... He took a little light and looked on the brakes. He said, I think your brakes look pretty good. I think we'd be able to pass those if you get the tires. And so I asked him how much it would cost, and he gave me a figure, like, you know, that the cheapest ones I had were like $600 to $650 for a set of four. You know, if you get them put on, balanced, and aligned, and all that good noise, you know, that you have to do to when you put on a new set of tires. And I said, well, let me check with the people that I normally get my tires from, and I'll probably be back at some point. So I called my dealer. I have a Subaru. It was actually my wife's Subaru, Lisa's Subaru. She passed away a couple years ago. And I inherited her car. It's a 2018 Subaru Forester. And she got it at the end of 2017, you know, like when the new models came out. She always used to get a new Subaru Forester every 5 years. And it's time. It's time to get a new one. But I'm not ready to get a new one. But, you know, I called the Subaru dealer where I've still been taking it to get my oil changes and so on, because I only have to have that done a couple times a year. As little driving as I normally had been doing, it only would roll around about every 6 months that it was due for an oil change. So I called them and asked about what it would cost to put a new set of tires on. And he gave me a quote that was like $1,000. I said, what kind of tires are those? She says, well, these are the original equipment tires that, you know, what came on it. And I said, well, okay, can I bring it in and let somebody look at it and see if it really needs new tires? He said, yeah, I can make you an appointment for that, or I can transfer you over to the service department and let them make you an appointment. I said, well, can't I just drive in sometime and let somebody just look at them? And he said, no, I think you'd need an appointment for that. So I scrapped that idea. I don't want to make an appointment to go and have somebody eyeball me, eyeball my tires for me. So what I did instead was went to another Jiffy Lube that was also on the approved list of who could do the inspection, and didn't say anything about, you know, that I'd been to this other one and they said that I needed new tires or anything. So I drove in there and told them that I was starting to drive for Uber, and I needed an inspection done. And they looked at my tires, and they said, "Well, you're going to have to get new tires." So I guess it was legit. And they also, when they were looking at the tires, the guy crawled under there and looked at the brakes, and he says, "Well, I forget which one he said. I think he said that the rear brakes were still okay, but the front ones were, you know, front ones needed replaced or something like that." And then another one said, "Well, if you're going to do one, you better do the other one." And so I said, "Oh, how much is this all going to cost?" And it was going to be over $1,000, you know, to get the four tires replaced and the brakes. And so I said, "I don't think I can afford to drive for Uber." And she said, "Well, if you change your mind, come back. We're always here." And so I left, and I came home, and I said, "I think I'm just going to wait until the dealer tells me that the tires and or the brakes need to be replaced, you know, for my own personal safety, because I don't want to spend like $1,000 or more to get on the road and then find out that I can't do anything. Because, you know, Frankfurt and Lawrenceburg, as I soon found out, are not prime spots for Uber. And I found this out because I discovered that I could actually start driving without having passed the inspection, as long as I had the inspection done by a date in early September. So I said, "Well, let me just see if this would be feasible to do, if I'm going to make money or lose money. You know, I don't want to go into something thinking I'm going to make extra money and just end up spending extra money." So that's what I did. And the first day was a disaster. I drove around and around in Frankfurt, you know, waiting for the Uber driver app to let me know that somebody had requested a trip, and I wasn't getting anything. And then I finally did get one as I was about to head home and, you know, give it up. And so it told me to go to the Buffalo Trace Distillery, which is down close to the river in Frankfurt. And so I headed that way, and I got there. I mean, I got and turned in to where the Buffalo Trace Distillery was, and I was supposed to look for these people at a certain spot, you know. And you got GPS, and it tells you, you know, where to go to pick them up. And the Buffalo Trace Distillery has a bunch of little bitty roads that are just kind of all tangled up like spaghetti. I got close, you know, told me to go, and I went to there was like a guard gate there. And I told them that I was there to pick up so-and-so. Of course, it gives their name. And she said, "Well, there they are over there." And they were just kind of over to the side. And they weren't in the spot where I was supposed to pick them up. They had evidently come out that way. And of course, you know, once you get to the spot, there's a button comes up that you slide saying that you've picked them up. And then it starts you with the directions to take them to their destination. Well, I didn't get there because, you know, I didn't get through the guard gate. And so, you know, I picked them up and backed around, started to take off. And I was unfamiliar with the app, so I didn't know at that point how to tell it that I had picked them up. If the button didn't come up automatically, I didn't know how to access that button. Well, so as a result, it kept trying to take me around and round to find them and pick them up. And so I said, well, it was a couple that they were there for a tour of the Buffalo Trace Distillery. And then they were heading back to their Airbnb, which was on a street that I used to live on. So I knew how to get them there. So, you know, I took them up there and dropped them off. I ended up having to get out of the app. You know, at first I just turned it down, turned the volume down so that I didn't keep hearing the directions said telling me to double back, you know, go back and pick these people up that you never picked up when you, even though you went to the Buffalo Trace Distillery, you didn't get to the point, to the pickup point. And so it kept trying to direct me back to that. I just turned it down. And then finally, to get out of the app, I couldn't figure out how to call support to get out of it. So I ended up taking an option to basically cancel the thing. And then I called support and told them what had happened. Well, everybody that I got hold of said, well, I'm not the right person to talk to. I need to transfer you to this other department. And I went through seven different support people. They kept transferring me, and everyone they would transfer to saying, you know, that I need to transfer you to so-and-so. I'm not the right person for you to talk to. And none of these people that I was trying to explain this to had English as their first language. You know, and that's nothing against them. You know, you don't have any control over where you're born. I'm sure my accent probably annoys other people. Some people might find it charming. I found that out when I used to do phone solicitation work when I was considerably younger, you know, before I got a good job. But I don't know. So I ended up, they said, well, we can't do anything until it's been at least 48 hours. So, you know, I left a record on there of what had happened. But, it was just a short ride anyway. So I wasn't going to get much for it. But unfortunately, it counted as a cancellation, which I've now had 20 trips, and one of those was a cancellation. And as a result, my cancellation percentage is 5%, and you can't go to the gold status. You can't step up from blue to gold until your cancellation percentage is under 5%. So I don't know that that's a big deal at this point, but, you know, they show like this cancellation percentage, and then there's like an acceptance percentage, where if they send you a request, if you don't accept it, then that counts against you as far as being able to move up to the gold level. And then they have other levels, higher levels up above that. And the other thing that they have is your ratings. I've got a 5-star rating. Apparently, everybody that has actually ridden with me has thought I did a good job, except I don't think those first people ever actually got to rate me, because they probably just ended up not having to pay for their ride, which is fine. Wasn't a big deal. But anyway, the next day, I had much better luck. That first day was a disaster. But the next day, as soon as I went out and got in my... And I didn't start until 2 in the afternoon. It was on a Friday. And being on a Friday is probably why I had a better day. But as soon as I went out and I got in my car, took my little picture... that they could and sent it in, that they could match to my profile picture and make sure it's me actually driving and I'm not loaning my app to somebody else who isn't qualified to drive for them. And, you know, started started the app to do that, and then and went online in the app. And the first thing, I had a request down in Lawrenceburg to pick somebody up and take them to Lexington. And that was a great trip. His guy's name was Braden. He was a UK student. He was going to work. He worked over at a Walmart. I don't know how he can afford to take an Uber to work, working at Walmart. I don't know. I guess he had to be over there for other reasons. Probably got stranded over here or something. So that was like, we had a nice talk on the way over there. It was like almost a 30-mile trip. Took 40 minutes, and the fare was like over $27, and he gave me a $10 tip on top of that. His parents must be rich or something. And I asked him what he was majoring in. He said he was majoring in marketing. And I said, well, okay, good. Something practical. So I guess he's going to be making some big bucks at some point. So after I got him over there, and then once I got in Lexington is a target-rich environment as far as Uber goes. As soon as I would finish one trip, I'd have a request for another one. And then my final ride of the day was a near disaster. So my name Raymond. Maybe I should just use I don't guess it matters. Had me to pick him up. He was going to an address in Georgetown, which is, you know, about as far from Lexington as Lawrenceburg is, but it's in the other direction. It's north from there. So I didn't know exactly where he was going. I had the address. I probably should have thought something was a little bit weird, you know, when he asked if he could stop at the gas station or service station, whatever it was, and get a couple things. He had his luggage with him. He had like a suitcase, and he had a garbage bag full of stuff. And he said, "I need to run in here and get something." He said, "I'm really dry." I said, "I'm sorry, I only got this one bottle of water. I'd offer you one." He said, "That's okay. Don't go to this gas station. Go to this one up there because they take food stamps." You know, I did. I sat there and waited on him, and it took him a few minutes in there, and then he came out. He was a pleasant fellow, and he's very respectful. You know, kept calling me sir and so on, and he was real nice. I enjoyed talking to him and so on. But when we got up to where we were going, it transpired. I found out that he was headed for like a rehab facility, and the GPS misdirected me to the wrong little gravel road, and we turned up in there. He had been kind of snoozing on the way, so we had actually missed the place. I didn't know what the name of the place was we were looking for. He might have seen it if he'd been awake. But we passed it up and turned up this little gravel road. And the only places up in there was a trailer, you know, kind of run down looking trailer. And then up at the top of the hill, there was some kind of tower and, you know, a garage type place and a house with a sign in the window. I said, "Let me see what that sign is in the window." Because by this time I knew that he was headed for so-and-so rehabilitation. I don't know. I don't remember what the name of the place was. But I said, "Let me see what that sign in the window is." And there was a big dog over there in a pen. And in the sign in the window, it said, "Smile, you're on candid camera," or something like that. You're being recorded. And So we just headed out of there. He said, well, let me call these people and we'll find out where we are. He looked at his GPS on his phone, and sure enough, it was telling him that, you know, we were at or near the right place. And when he got through to this place, it was one of these deals where, you know, we'll direct you, we'll send this to a live person as soon as one's available. And so I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally got a hold of him, told him where we were. Said, well, you're real close. You need to turn down this way and watch for a lake and turn into the gravel parking lot. And so we did that. We saw the lake and we turned in. It was like another little gravel road. And in the meantime, I'm getting my car all muddy, which is, I'm going to have to spend money to get it cleaned up. And turned out that was the wrong place, too. I said, well, your lake ought to be on the left side, not the right side. And I thought, how do you know which way we're going? But anyway, so it turned out it was kind of across the road from there. And we turned in, and there was like a gate, you know, like at a railroad crossing or something, except it was marked differently. And you had to punch in a number, talk to somebody through the speaker before they'd raise the gate. And so we finally got through to somebody on there. And then a security guy came down in a pickup truck and collected him. This whole thing, it took over an hour for this 24-mile trip from Lexington to Georgetown, and then I just headed home. But I was pretty happy with the day's result because, you know, with fares and tips, I made a few dollars over $100. Well, I didn't make that much. I grossed that much. The next day, I had to fill my tank up, and it was like $45. But anyway, I did go and drive again on Saturday. First day I had 7 rides, and then Saturday I had 12, but I didn't make as much as I did on Friday because these were all short trips. I think a few of them were people that had ended up spending the night somewhere that they had been drinking and then were headed home in the morning. Well, actually, it was morning, still morning. It was 11 something for the first two or three rides. But a couple of them were hungover. You know, there was the couple hungover guys, and there was one guy that I picked up at the barber shop. And then there was a girl that, her name was Alex, which is, you know, what my girlfriend goes by, but I don't call her that because I never got used to calling girls Alex. And I tried calling her by her full first name for a while, but that, you know, that didn't really sound right either. So I just usually call her Baby. But anyway, this other Alex that I picked up was at Kroger's, and she had groceries, and it was just starting to rain. And she said, you're just in time. I said, well, I've got an umbrella if we need it. And then I took her to her apartment and helped her carry her groceries in. She gave me a $5 tip. You know, they don't hand you cash. They just do it in the app, and then you find out later they tipped you so-and-so amount, and then you can send them thanks in the app. So I guess she appreciated me helping her carry her groceries in, picking her up in the rain and so on. And then there was this couple that had a dog with them and got in with the dog, and I said, hello, puppy. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope this is not a long ride. You know, I don't want that dog peeing in the back seat. So, but I took them and took them where they were going. They gave me a $1 tip. I guess that was for the dog. And then there was another one I went to the place to pick them up, and they weren't showing up, and I had to wait on them for a while. And I don't know, there were a few others. There was one girl wanted to Planet Fitness, and one girl that had was working at a restaurant. She was getting a ride home from work, you know. And then there was this English lady. I said, "You're from across the big pond, aren't you?" And so we started chatting, and she kept trying to tell me how to go, even though the app was talking to me at the same time. And she caused me to miss a couple of trip requests. After a while, it started queuing them up, and it would give me another request before I was done with the one that I was actually working on. So Lexington's a busy place as far as Uber is concerned. But anyway, about this time, my battery was running out. And I plugged in the charger, and the voice directions went away. And so I had to, for the last couple of trips, I had to just visually watch the map on the screen, which I've got an iPhone SE Gen 3. I went back to a smaller phone because that big one, I kept like carrying a big brick around, you know, like the IBM guys used to carry those big cell phones. Of course, this was just a thin brick. Those were big clunky bricks. But anyway, I liked the smaller size phone. But now, makes it hard to read sitting up there in that holder on the dashboard. So I don't know. I had another occasion where the GPS didn't quite get me to the right place, and I had to call and tell them, and said, "Well, I can see you. You're over there at the car wash. Come around this way." And then, you know, so I finally got them, took them to the sports complex where they were going. They had their rackets with them. And I said, "Well, it says we are 0 feet away from your destination." They weren't sure where they were going either. And so they said, "Well, we'll find it." And I got out and started walking in one direction. And I sat there and I was waiting for another request to come through. And by the time I decided to go on, I saw them walking back the other direction. So they were having problems getting to their destination as well. Anyway, I had one more trip after that, and it was relatively uneventful. Some girl named Nye. I said, had the name popped up, it said, had N-Y, and it was both lowercase. Of course, she was a young girl. I said, "Is Nye your name, or are you from New York?" And she said, "Nye." Nye is short for, and I didn't catch what it was short for, but it was short for something. So anyway, after that, I decided I would pack it in and go home, so. First couple of days, you know, did okay, and I'll have a little extra money in my credit union account about Tuesday for these 2 days of work. I'm not going to work today. Today's Sunday as I'm recording this, and I'm going to take a day of rest here, you know. I've been to church already today, and I'm getting ready to go to Sunday dinner at my friends over in Versailles. They have me over there frequently. They were good friends with Lisa. They've kind of adopted me since she passed away. And it's, you know, it's nice to have some people that that you know to go and do things with. So I think I'm going to wrap it up here so that I can get ready to head over their way. So until the next time, this is the Ubermensch, Dave in Kentucky, signing off.